Shalom Aleichem, Chevra. It's Binyamin Hammer here at the National Council of Young Israel. I'd like to welcome Rebbe and all the Rabbanim that are here on this call for conference call number 106. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. Question one. A boy will reach Bar Mitzvah during the 9 days. May he have a Zoom gathering celebration with family from around the world that unfortunately are not able to be with him physically because of the pandemic. B, can background music be played during a slideshow featuring photos from his childhood? Now, Bar Mitzvah has a special status. If you look in the Ordea, in Shin Sari Aleph, in the side on the Gilyon, it quotes that a Siyam Mesechta, an Ovel is allowed to attend, and the Bar Mitzvah is given the status of a Siyam Mesechta. What's the common denominator between a Siyam Mesechta and the Bar Mitzvah? They sound like they're two totally different kinds of celebrations. What's the common thread? My answer is it's a Suda Shel Torah. Can't go into all the details now, but why is it that it's a Suda of Bar Mitzvah is different than Bas Mitzvah? And I think the answer is that the Suda of Bar Mitzvah is to celebrate the fact that the father has completed his obligation of Limadatim Otzmas B'necham L'Dabir Abom. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Aloha Aleph, and Nichos Tam Torah, that only applies to a Katan, not to a Gadol, who has his own obligation to Pshuto. His father has other obligations after he turns 13. But for the amount of time he's 13, that's why he completed, he makes a Sudas Torah, permission to Sudas Torah, as is a Siyam Masechta. If you look at Mishnah Brewer, beginning of Tav Reish Samach Tes, says a Sudas Simchas Torah. It's also a Mutter for a novel, for the same reason. Here, in our case, it's even better because it's only on Zoom. And therefore, there's no problem whatsoever. They should certainly join. As far as the background music, number one, even live music, we don't even understand why it's also even a regular shloshim. The Dvar Yeshua says there's no such issue. It's against the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan says that music is a kal v'chomer from dancing. The Pashas, it's not that way. Dancing is more freilich than music. Certainly take music, but I would say even most live music. And therefore, it's okay. Even Rav Moshe, who's machmer music, is quoted as being makel in background music if you go to an event and his background music, certainly if it's for a bar mitzvah, and therefore I believe it's okay. B, Yoledes went to the hospital out of the tchum on Shabbos and it was a false labor. May she go back home. B, a person was discharged and there was a big tzarachim to her to be at home. Can they be somech on the balaito which the Ramah brings in Reish HaNevov? If yes, may he leave his house or must he stay in his house being that he left the tchum? These are very much more serious questions than the 9 days. Is a serious, serious shalos. So, they quote us Shuvas B'tzela Chochma, Chelik Dalet, Simen Sadi Dalet, talking about the fact that the reality is, the person is going to be kept where he is, he's not going to go in the first place. He's not going to go in the first place, it says Shalat Pikuach Nefesh. So if you're not going to let the person come back, so they're not going to come. I speak of knowledge. Okay, I speak of knowledge. I don't have to be too personal on these phone calls. Today is the yahrzeit of my father, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, 17 years. On the other hand, Shabbos, we were blessed with a granddaughter. The Yoledes, my daughter-in-law, went to the hospital on Friday. It was a bit of a false alarm. They got home just in time for Shabbos. And then, when the labor really started, she was hesitant to go back to the hospital. She was afraid of another false alarm. So my son said, you know, I'm going to the hospital. You want to come with me? We see that even a very intelligent Yoledes hesitates to go to a hospital on Shabbos for fear she'll get stuck there. Maybe she won't be able to come back. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. And therefore, it seems to me, as a devil pushes, that it's mutter to go and mutter to come back. Because if you won't let her come back, she won't go in the first place. You'll say, how can that be? Doesn't she realize? A lot of things can't be. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, at the end of Minchas Shlomo, Chelik Av Simen Ches, discusses this, the fact in a somewhat different context, but going back on Shabbos, he says, you know, there are quoted in his language, Kalei Hadas, or Chashudim, in terms of doctors, not to go if they can't come back. We cannot be a matter in Issa Torah, based on what principle? Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchiloso. Only works for Darabonas, not for Daraisis. To which I say, I'm not basing myself on Hitiru Sofa Mishum Tchiloso. I'm basing it on Pikuach Nebesh Mamish, as the B'Tzela Chochma implies. And therefore, I think that she can certainly go back home because of the fear. The word gets around. The rabbis don't want to go back home. She won't go in the first place. She'll have a baby at home or in an ambulance, which is not a good thing to pikuach nefesh mamish. Now, what about the situation where the person is discharged and the tzorach to go back home, to be home? So in that same Betzel HaChokhmah, he quotes a Gemara Yuma, Samach Zayin, with a Rashi, who says, the case of the situation of a person who was taken out to Sarah Lazazel, can he go back to Chutz Tchum? If he's under pain and he's weak, it allows him to go Chutz Tchum. I think that someone who was in what the questioner calls a big Tzorech, that would be presumably called Me'una V'cholos, it's a big Tzorech, he'd be allowed to go out Chutz Tchum. Now, as far as the Balayitur is concerned, you don't need the Balayitur. The Balayitur says you can tell a Gadol Chilul Shabbos Daraisa for any mitzvah. We're not talking about a mitzvah over here. We're talking about Chol HaShem B'Sakana, at the very least. It could be even Yesh B'Sakana in some cases. But even if it's Ein B'Sakana, we pass in Shin Chav Chesiv Yudzayim, the last Gadol, to do even a Daraisa for Chol HaShem B'Sakana. So before the Gemara, Meshach B'Shabbos Kuf Chav Tes, that you can do a Daraisa to a Gadol, for Chol HaShem B'Sakana, and therefore, if it can be done to a Goy, again, in some cases it can be done to a Jew, but obviously a Goy is better in these kinds of situations. Question two. A business that has a Shtar Mechira for Shabbos, however, being that he is the manager, he needs to push approve on the Amazon orders that are ordered during the week. Amazon then writes on their website, it will arrive on Shabbos. Is approving an order considered that he is telling them to deliver on Shabbos? I don't see how. He didn't tell Amazon to say they're delivering on Shabbos, and I'm not an expert at Amazon. He says Amazon should deliver. From his perspective, Amazon can deliver on Friday, can deliver on Sunday, can deliver on... So I don't see, again, like the caveat is, I don't know how Amazon works, but the way the question is phrased, that he says to order it, and then Amazon, on its own, he didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. They do it on Shabbos, even though he may know that they're going to do it, I don't think it's necessarily... And these seven million not because they won't do it. Who knows what their policies are in any particular instance? So therefore, I thought it should not be a problem in such a situation. Three, I can tell them with hearing aids, they help them to hear, can hear weakly without the fulfillments that require shmira. So I quoted before, Shlomazaman and Chaslomah Chelik Aleph, the end of Simon Ches, and I quote the beginning of Simon Tes, which he says, I mean, it's the Erani. I'm very sad to say that since his theory is that a microphone is not the real voice, which I believe is a correct sheet, though there are others disagree, therefore a hearing aid is the same science. A membrane moves. Whatever the science is not our concern right now. He says, I'm sorry to say, he's not yotzei the mitzvah, Megillah, Tzvi HaShofar. He only hears it through a microphone, through a hearing aid. They quote the Chazon Ish, may have disagreed, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, maybe disagree. But certainly, Shlomo Zalman's view should not be discounted. So it's like this. If he takes off his hearing aid, he hears nothing. So then there's nothing to lose by this hearing with the hearing aid. Should he make a brocha or not? Shlomo Zalman says certainly should not make a brocha. He wants to rely on Gedolei Yisrael, who have a more lenient view. We can't stop him. But if he's going to hear even weakly without the aid, he must go right next to the bima and hear. He's not allowed to rely on the Mechilim. There's an opportunity to hear it, even if he has to stand right near him and hear it in the somewhat of a lower voice. That's what he should do. Four, can a father unable to attend in some bris for some reason recite the Bracha of Achniso by following the bris on live video feed, such as Zoom, FaceTime, or Skype? My instinct, of course, would say no. We've had many bris over Zoom over the course of the year. And I named many babies at Bristol. I named many girls also on Zoom. I never would want to say an actual bracha, not in the presence of the actual milah. However, I give you full disclosure. Rabbi Osher Weiss Shlita and Heviani Chadora, page Tamachay, thinks it's okay. He quotes from Rabbi Yashiv. I know Rabbi Yashiv, you have to be careful where it was quoted. So Rabbi Yashiv went further than that. Before they had Zoom, Rabbi Yashiv was told, the man has to calculate when the bris is going to be. He can make it in the privacy of his room 100 miles away. It's hard to believe. Rabbi Shweiss doesn't believe it either. But Asha does think, at least it's on Zoom, that it is okay. My gut is Suffolk Brochus Lahakel. Look at the Heviani Chadara page Shin Chav Dalet as well. But if someone wants to rely on Doli Toru, who have a lenient position, certainly has a right to do so. Question 5. When Tachanun is not recited because of a bris, Bali bris or a chosim, does that impact Kelel Chapayim, Nam Natseh, the recitation of Kel Molech? The Ramah writes Beferish and Yerodeus, Mereish Samachay, Sifu Gimel, you do say Kelel Chapayim, and therefore, of course, you would also say Lam Natseh, which go together, as the Shach says over there. Kel Molech, I think it'd be okay, because it's not the day itself which is the problem, it's just the occasion. So the occasion affects Tachlin itself. I do not necessarily think it affects the Kelmole. It's a better time to say it. You can say it. You know, if the person, a bris is only scheduled 8 days in advance. So if the fellow knows there's going to be a bris there, let him make the Kelmole earlier. 6. In discussing the utilizing of an angel for riding an elevator on Shabbos, I mentioned in passing that my opinion, the concept of Shus to Shus and Makamitz is predicated on Sfeg de Rabbanu Lekula. I elaborate on the source of this idea. When Erevin and the attendant Rishonim on the Sugya, there doesn't seem to be any reference to it, role for some. Very good question. Very good question. If you look at the Magen Mishnah in Perek Vav Halacha Aleph and Nichol Shabbos, he discusses the question whether a person is allowed to tell a goy on Friday to do a malach on Shabbos. And he says, you know, there's certain gemaras of Masechta Shabbos which indicate that it's a problem if you test them in Aleph, and also b'mokom acher. I wish the Magen Mishnah would have told us what Mokom Acher is, but I have a theory. My theory is the Mokom Acher is the Masechta Bava Metzia, the Tzadi Amid Aleph. What's the Shana Bava Metzia, the Tzadi Amid Aleph? May one tell the guy to muzzle an ox? I may not do so. Or Saksim Shabbatisha. I tell the guy, do I get Malchus also or not? Or may I tell him or not? The Gemara never resolves the question. It's an unresolved question. An unresolved question. What's the rule? So I believe the answer is as follows. If it's ikra d'oraisa, you're telling a goy to do lo sachtim shavadisa, you may not. So we pass the halacha. You may not tell them because it's sveka d'oraisa l'chumra. Even though Abir l'dok is the rabbanim, it's ikra d'oraisa. And for this very reason, you may not tell a goy on Friday to do malacha on Shabbos, to know v'daber dover on Friday. It's an isra of what we call shlichus. Shlichus applies l'chumra, but lo sachtim shavadisa, lo sachtim malacha. Okay, nafkamina b'mokam mitzvah. B'mokam mitzvah is no yisur v'daber davar. As you know, nimtso chefs v'daber davar, poskin yishaya, chefte shamayim mutarim. And therefore, there's no yisur v'daber davar or nimtso chefsucha if it's chefte shamayim, it's for a mitzvah. So therefore, it comes out that shvus to shvus b'mokam mitzvah is mutter, because the daber davar is taken care of by the idea of mokam mitzvah. And yisur shlichus is taken care of because it's sveika d'rabbana l'kula. The Gemara in Bava Metzia does not resolve the Shaila, which is this Shaila, whether it is an Easter of Shlichus L'chumah to a Goy. Shul lo sach sam shabbatisha lo sach l'kom l'locha. That's why I think the din of Shvus, the Shvus of Makamitz, is based upon Speka de Rabbanu L'kula, the unresolved question in Bava Metzia Dav Sadi, which with respect to the Rabbanas, we have a right to be making. But, as we mentioned last time, we don't rush to rely on Speka de Rabbanu L'kula if we don't have to. That's why I think that we should avoid relying on it as far as elevator. There are also those who hold elevators, the right, the chazanish, etc. But the question was good. I hope I gave it right answer. 7. When a woman's husband accepts Shabbos in the shul in an early minyan, does a woman need to accept Shabbos at the same time? Can she make a verbal tanai and give herself more time to prepare for Shabbos? In my opinion, she doesn't need any verbal tanai. It's not Shabbos until she accepts Shabbos. The same way as almost every person agrees when the woman lights candles, that she's accepts Shabbos. Husband does not keep Shabbos, my son l'chol yom. So I am in some ways an egalitarian. The same way as she is not, cannot control what he does, nor can he do what she does. I have to concede in some of the classics for him, they have this concept, which I don't know where it comes from. I mean, I guess I do know, but I don't agree where it comes from. That somehow the whole family is subservient to the father, the papa bear, and the wife as well. From that perspective, I am more modern. I don't believe there's any difference between the husband and the wife. The same way as the husband's not bound by the wife's Kabbalah Shabbos, neither is the wife bound by the husband's Kabbalah Shabbos. If you look at Piska Chubis, Simon Reish, Saba Gimel, Os, Zion, and footnote 338, quotes many poskim on both sides of the issue. I saw he quotes, someone says a Doraisa. What's a Doraisa? Because it says in the Seres HaDibris, Osas Gamlocha, Ato, Bincha, Vitecha, that everyone's somehow under the authority of the father figure. Number one, has nothing to do with the wife. Number two, even Bincha Bitecha is referring to minors. Once a boy is 13 and the girl is 12, so then they're independent. And if they're younger than that, okay, so then maybe you shouldn't be telling them to do anything, but it doesn't have to stop them. So another Mishnah Masechta, Shabbos. In any event, it's not Shabbos itself, it's still Sefer Shabbos. And if I think there's no problem, halacha l'maisa. Question number 8. Can a husband daven and accept Shabbos early and wait to come home until his wife lights after the regular dividing time? I don't see why not. B. Can he then start the Shabbos Suda around Shkia time? Is there a point where he must wait to say Krishna first before starting the Suda? That's complicated. Within a half an hour of Seis, which is Svag Krishna, we're looking at the B'alokha Simon Reish Ayan Aleph Sif Aleph the Mechel Niyad, and the Mr. Brewer Reish Samba Zayin Sif Kot Vav, the Chathchila, he should wait, because it's within a half an hour of Zman Krishna. If there's a difficulty, he need not wait. Most of these cases probably is a difficulty to keep people waiting around the Shabbos table. So we can make early Shabbos. We try hard to wash before the Shkia. And since Seis in America is usually about a half an hour after Shkia, so therefore, as long as the sun is still shining, it's more than a half an hour before. See, if he started his Suda Beheter, must he stop when the time comes for Krishna? And what time is that? So the Mr. Brewer writes in Simon Reish, Paman Hesed, Kohen Chafal, he need not stop. He started Beheter, he may go. Especially since he already said Krishna in Shul. Now, some posts can consider that to be a Sveik Adedina, whether he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Krishna, what we call in our language the early Shabbos, after Plag HaMincha. And therefore it's another Tzad L'Hakol, maybe he was Yotze already. My personal view, and I can't prove it, is that's not true, and that the only one who said you could be Yotze from Plag HaMincha was the Rabbein Tam. And the Rabbein Tam is Lishitoso, the Tzitzik HaChav is very late, and Plag HaMincha is only a few minutes before the sun sets. So that's that Plag HaMincha, he said you could be Yotze, in the Sechta Brochus. But our plag, the Vilna Gaon's plag, which is an hour and a quarter plus, and usually this is the summertime, it's about an hour and a half here in New York before the sun sets. It's hard for me to imagine if Yotze Krishna will call to anybody, but there are those who disagree with me. An additional snip lahokil. But even without that, if you start my head there, you can continue eating lahalokhla maisa as the Mishnah Brewer says. D. If you can wait to say Krishna until after the Suda, which does he do first? Bench or say Krishna, and why? I believe that the answer is you bench first and then say Krishna. Exactly why is complicated. They talk about it when it's through the Sphere Soma. You have three mitzvahs. You have benching and Krishna and Sphere. And you know, the good old days when we used to Kabbalah early Shabbos when my children were young, this happened every Friday night, and we did it in that order. First benching, and then Krishna, and then Sphere. Why? So some say benching is first because the Chiyuv of benching came first. Chiyuv of benching, you had a kazayas of bread, which is, when there's still light outside, you chayav to bench. Krishma only chayav after Tetz B'chavim. There are other reasons back and forth, but we have a lot of questions to go. We'll cut it short. 9. I am a new Rav. In the early Shabbos, minyan used to be always said 7 p.m. for the entire summer. You know, I am allowing it for this year based on the past chak. A. Going forward, how much should I push the daven around the time of plag to avoid a character disaster? Here, I believe, is a major misconception. There are poskim who say that the Mishnah Brewer was mata character disaster, the mokum tsara gorol over the tzibur, etc. I do not believe that is the case. Again, time is not allowed to go into all the sources. I have it in my sefer, Am Mordechai and Brochus. It's based on the rush in the first parag of Brochus, the fourth parag of Brochus. The way I read it, means like this. Tarte disaster, even from one day to the other, is to be discouraged. Even that the Rosh doesn't like. That's why I'm not a fan of the plag minyan that they have these days during the week. Erev Shabbos is different. Erev Shabbos, the poskim say, plag is mincha from Plag Mini to Farm, the Makabel Shabbos early, which is the Mitzvah Darais until 7 Shabbos. But from Sunday to Thursday, I'm not a fan of the Plag of Davening Maariv after Plag HaMinuchas. It never existed in earlier years. Somehow it became the new rage in certain places. Many people are getting a little bit older. Shas HaTchak? Okay, Shas HaTchak is a different story. But L'chatchila, this is just lazy to Davening Maariv at Plag HaMinuchas during the week. I do not believe it's correct, because that's also a Tadir Shasri, even from one day to the other. There it says that if it's a Shas HaTchak, a Tzvila B'tzibur, you can be maker. That is true, and I agree with that. Dolomizu, we had one case when de Blasio closed the city on 5 days of riots. We had a daven on, even on Shabbos, we had a daven early Mincha Maariv, with Maariv on the sun was shining on Shabbos, we daven Maariv. That was a Shas HaTchak. The shul was closed with the curfew. But in the normal conditions, I wouldn't allow that even the chatchila. But with the event, Shas HaTchak, Shul HaMitzibah, yet. That's in one day to the next. But that day itself, I do not believe that the Rosh was Matarit. I do not believe that the Mishnah Berurah was Matarit. I don't know anyone who was Matarit Beferish, except a couple of Achrona here and there say it's what I concede that point. But the overwhelming of Pesach, I believe that it should not be done. And therefore, I think it just simply should not be done. Let him either daven earlier or daven later. I didn't give him two choices. I don't see why this should be allowed. I know that I'm a little bit of a lone cold core of a midbar. People don't listen to me. But I think that they should listen. I think I'm just quoting Mr. Brewer and the Rush and the other poskim. B, is the Mogen Aron plug acceptable? I have heard that there are different ways of calculating this plug. Can I explain the different ways and any way is preferable to the other? I will not explain. I think they're all not preferable. The reason why is because they're two different countings. There's the Vilna Gaon's daily calendar and there's the Mogen Avraham. It all goes together. The Mogen Avraham's Man Kriyashma, Rabbeinu Tam's Seisuk Achav Man Shabbos, and the Mogen Avraham's Plag. It all goes together. But I don't think the Halacha L'maaseh, we accept any of it. Most of us don't wait 72 minutes after on Motzei Shabbos. Most, if not many of us, are not makbid on Tosman Krishna of the Mogen Avraham. You can't have it both ways. So we followed the Vilna Gaon, not to be ashamed about. The Vilna Gaon's sack was considered to be the proper one. Many agree with him, but you got to be consistent. For Mekel on a shorter Motzei Shabbos and a later Tosman Krishna, I don't say you can suddenly turn around and make a Mogen Avraham's plug, no matter which way you slice it. And therefore, I think that the rabbi, even if it's the new rabbi, can't... The new rabbi has to have a little bit of leeway. Can't throw his weight around the first year. But after he establishes himself and tries to do it right, I think he should try to make the change to what we call before plaque. Sure, though, there'll be people who will be disaffected, they'll dive it elsewhere. Okay. So that's not the end of the world. I think we should fight for the right whenever it's possible. Number 10. By Abdullah, should one look at his fingernails before or after making the bracha on the Nair? Right, this is a question we don't have to worry about too much. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Shimon Reish Tani Vav, Shukon Lamed Aleph, he writes, Roa v'tziponayim u'mavarech, he looks first at the nails, and they make a brocha, it's like a birchas ha-ri'a, birchas ha-sheva. And Piskei Tshuvas, footnote 167, quotes the Chazon Ish, and others do it the other way around. They first made the brocha, and then they look at the nails. I do both. I look at my nails, I make the brocha, and I keep looking at the nails. That's the best way to handle this question. All right. 11. What is the source for the meaning of not taking food out of the base oval? So look at Rabbi Kiveger in Simen Shin Ayin Vav Siv Dalid. And he explains, it says, some Ruach HaTumah is Shoron, whatever that means. That's the source. As I said last time, there are other much more important laws in the Derisis, which I believe override this issue. In general, we're not so makban on Ruach Tumah, even when it's found by Farish and Shas, as the Mogen Avraham says in different places. Kavachom, this which is not, to my knowledge, found explicitly. And there are some who say it only applies if the person passed away in the house. These days, not so common. It's probably only if you pass away in that room. So, therefore, if it's a Baal Tashkis issue, I think we have room to override. Question number 12. A teenage boy takes pills for his acne daily. May he take them on Shabbos as well? Teenage boys taking growth hormones daily may take them on Shabbos as well. So halacha with respect to medicines is it's mutter for cholah sheibos hakol. What does that mean? The Rambam explains someone who can't function normally. That's what it means. It seems to me that a person whose acne is so bad, he can't look at himself in the mirror, you know, teenage boys, or the boy is so short that he needs the growth hormones, I consider that to be not being able to function normally for that individual who needs these medicines, who takes it seriously enough, and therefore I thought it would be mutter on Shabbos. 13. For many years, I have a stocks invested through a firm person. In recent years, a different firm friend of mine joined an investment company, and I have now other investments with him. A few days ago, my friend asked if I have investments with anybody else. I told him about the stocks, and after seeing the statements, he remarked, they're not being handled properly, as they are not as lucrative as could be and are being invested in a risky manner. He is encouraging that I should transfer the stocks to him for my benefit. Is it permitted for me to take the stocks away from the person who has been investing with them for me for many years? For the advice of my friend, personally, I would like to transfer to my friend, especially after hearing his advice, if that is relevant. Darshan Fazich. We have to worry if his advice is good advice. It may be good for him, may not be good for you. Again, I don't know the two friends. I, as a rule, I'm hesitant to take business away from somebody who I've given it to, even though the new person on the block is much more close and friendly. I'm not a stock. I never invested in stocks. But I'll give you one somewhat parallel case. Many, many years ago in our shul, in Young Israel of Riverdale, there was an individual who would come from Brooklyn to give us the Arba Minim. You know, he gets the Arba Minim and he provides us, does a very nice job. A few years later, a Choshev Talmud Chacham moved into town, and he also deals in Arba Minim. Now, had it been tabula rasa, I would have certainly given the business to the local person, very qualified Talmud Chacham, he used the Parnassa, but I felt it's not right to take the Parnassa away from somebody who was doing it for us for years before, just because somebody else moved in into the block. So I didn't. So, you know, some of the people go independently to that Talmud Chacham, and I admire them, and I admire him. But the shul's business is still with the same individual from decades ago, because we started with him. He didn't do anything wrong. So again, if the first guy did something wrong, objectively, talk to the third guy who has no negiyah. If he thinks that the first guy is doing something wrong, then of course he should go away from the first guy, but not necessarily to the second guy. Go to whoever you want. But if he's doing nothing wrong, mind the tia, although it's nothing to do with strict halacha, is to not to take things away from someone who has a business. Number 14. Please give guidance on what reading material may not be brought into the restroom. Many weekly magazines have articles on current events, but also have a piece on the parsha. Some books are based on Torah sources, do not give different Torah, and personalities, etc., etc., etc. So there's a table called the Ginzei HaKodesh. Here on page 186 and 7, he discusses newspapers. May you take them into the bathroom. He writes as follows. A paper, a newspaper, a magazine. Once in a while, there's some Torah, but it's not regular. Then you can take it to the bathroom. If you suddenly come across some words of Torah, make sure to cover it right away. Cover it with the other page, so it shouldn't be exposed in the bathroom. On the other hand, if there's a set column, of Torah every single week. There are those who say it's better not to take it into the bathroom, or if you know it exists. Let's say, for example, the back page has a Dvar Torah. The rest is all politics. So you take a little bobby pin or paper clip, and you make sure that that back page is clipped shut and it's not exposed. And the rest of the stuff you can take into the bathroom. There's another shiloh. I'll allow you to take it out of the bathroom. We won't go into that right now. Sukkim are found from the Gedolei Olam of Nisim Karelitz, Rebbe Yashiv. It is a suit between them. Must you cover it with one page or cover it with two pages? Seems to me that there's room to be make a leave with one page with a paper clip or a bobby pin, etc., etc. The second part of the question is not found by the questioner, but it relates to when we use the word restroom. Are our restrooms the same as the Beis HaKisei in the time of the Gemara? The word Beis HaKisei, as the very name implies, means a seat when a person sits when he relieves himself, and it's meant for that and that only. And we can understand very well why I have to start the Beis HaKisei. The Gemara, the case of Beis HaKisei, the Parsoi, where it's not, whatever comes out doesn't stay there, it goes all the way down. The Chazon Ish is Mesupik, whether our modern bathrooms have that bit of kiparsoi because we flush things down. These gedolim, Karelitz and Rebbe Yashiv, as quoted in the Sefer Ginti HaKodesh, they want to be machmer, not shayla. I'm not sure. I thought the Chazon Ish's svara was more accepted, but they're different opinions. But again, we're not doing matir with completely. We're saying you should cover it. So you should take it in and cover it. And this way, they tell the story of the Beis Halevi. I think I once read it. Beis Halevi subscribed to one of the Maskilisha periodicals. He wanted to know what's going on in the world. All of a sudden, he canceled his subscription. They said, Rebbe, I don't understand you. We just added a Torah page to our journal. Why are you suddenly canceling it? He said, it's a weird place where I read your journal, and I want it with the Torah page in it. And that would be a more strict view. But as we said, the Gedolim of today think that it can be covered. It's okay. Certainly, I think our bathrooms is another time to be lenient. 15. I have difficulty keeping up with the Shachas Minyan. If I start Shmona Esrei together with the Chazaras HaShatz, which means his fellow, if I understood correctly, he comes on time, they go faster than he does, and he at best could get up to his stillest private Shmona Esrei when the Chazan is starting his. I don't make Kedusha, because this fellow davened slowly. From here to get to Baruch Atta, okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, told Mechayim Mason, they already finished Kedusha. So he loaded it, forget about it. Can I start before the shots? And if yes, what are the guidelines? Number one, I would tell this fellow, he shouldn't start with the shots. He should start with the oilum. But he can know where he can keep up. Come early. Come early. That's what you have to do. Come early and get a head start. When I grew up in the shtiebel on Main Street in Kew Garden Hills, they went so fast that I knew that if I start Yotzerar with them, I would never make it in time to get the Shmona Esrei. So what I used to do was come a little early, and I made sure when they said Baruch Hu, I was up to Ava Rabba. They started Yotzerar, I started Ava Rabba. We finished at the same time and came to Gaul Yisroel. So this fellow, I would tell him, come early and start the Shtila Shmona Esrei, which is the main union of Tzila B'Tzibur with the Olam. Yeah, sure, you will not make it in time for Kedusha because you're having a slow Shmona Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it a little bit. And the Pshak Halacha is that someone davening slower can start with the everybody else. That's the perfect Tzila B'Tzibur. You start exactly with everybody else. And if you're a slow davener, just come earlier and time it to start with everybody else. And as far as Kedusha, so you'll be in the middle of, I don't know, Shema Koleinu. They're up to Kedusha, so you'll be passing like Rashi. You just listen and you don't say anything. Shema Ka'ona. And that's all. And until you find a minute that's slower, that's what I think you should do. 16. In our community, virtually everyone has been received one vaccine shot. Virtually no one has received both. We have been maintaining the same social distancing measures as we have in place since reopening. That's very good. They're following the CDC guidelines. People who get an aliyah to the Torah, stand on one side of the plexiglass and go down straight after their aliyah. That's the way it should be. Those are their understandings. They don't touch the Torah. We generally have one Kohen who attends. On Shmini Atzeres, he was upset that we insisted that he doesn't touch the Torah and that he goes down straight after the Aliyah. Since then, he has been leaving the shul at the time of the Aliyah. For the last few weeks, he has not left the shul. However, we called someone else up using the formula AFLP Sheyesh Kan Kohen. He has made it known that he is fine with this. But if he does get an aliyah, he will go up and touch the Torah, stay for the next aliyah, etc. What is the appropriate thing to do going forward? The appropriate thing to do is to keep the rules that the shul has. It's not anarchy. I imagine the shul consulted with doctors. The CDC says until everyone's double vaccinated, and 2 weeks after, they have to wear masks and all the restrictions apply, and social distance and the whole thing. And I believe, as we did in our shul, we had the plexiglass. We still have the plexiglass there. We still don't touch the Sefer Torah. But the rules are rules. And the person who wants to break the rules and do it my way, he doesn't get an aliyah. Sorry. Now you'll say, what do we do with him? So I think that we are allowed to call up a Yisro. This fellow, he can't get an aliyah because he won't keep the rules. I compare him to someone who's reading Kriyat Shema. Someone's saying Krishma. He's the only Kohen in town. In the shul, you call Yisrael b'm kolah shulchan aruch, as the Mishnah writes in Shulchan Yudayim. It's not a pagam. Those things is not a Kohen. No, everyone understands. He's doing Krishma. Here too. Everyone understands this guy has a hang-up. He doesn't want to get an aliyah without touching the Sefer Torah and then staying there afterwards. They don't understand that too. Just keep on doing what you're doing. 17. Cutting boards factor into kashas. For example, what happens if I cut something milchik on a fleshy cutting board? Or what if I cut something parm on a fleshy cutting board with a milchik knife? Look, ideally this should be a separate fleshy and a separate milchik. Bidi Yeved, if you cut fleshy on a milchik board and milchik on a fleshy board, no problem whatsoever. The only possible problem is if Dava Chorif, which is a whole discussion, and even there, there's room to be making after it happened. 18. What is the best way to avoid chuppas nida? Is it better to medicate or make calculations at a safe date? Very good question. The answer is, after the kaim's name, the first thing to do is to make calculations at a safe date. It usually works. Sometimes the hormones are very active and things go haywire, and things get crossed up. So here's the answer. There's a medication called Aegestin, Aygestin. If administered appropriately, three pills a day, it works all the time. One of the doctors in my shul, Dr. Grejauer, has been working on this for years. He submitted a paper to a prestigious medical journal not long ago. After data, 500 cases he had without failing even once, if they took the proper dosage, and he solved the chuppas nida problem doing it this way. It's a very effective way. I recommend it for everybody. The other plus of this, the woman is very regular, and she's on target, and she made a proper calculation. Doesn't have to take any medicine. There's no need. So she calculated, let's say, to have a period, for argument's sake, let's say 2 weeks before the wedding. So sure enough, it happened 2 weeks before the wedding. So she could go to the mikveh a few days before the wedding. And fine. The best medicine is no medicine. I'm saying this in opposition to the other kind of medications, the birth control pills, which can make people crazy. They have breakthrough bleeding. I can tell you horror stories of all different types of those medications. Girls crying to me, if I would have done nothing, it would have been fine. Now I took the pills and I have a chuppas nida or things of this nature. So that's my advice. You probably can Google this article. It was in YU Torah for a while before it was accepted by a medical journal. It's Aygestin, Aygestin. Dr. Grejauer is Dr. Grajower. He lives in Riverdale in my shul. He prescribes it, and he's been, to my knowledge, it works all the time. 19. My shul member does not want to rely on the community area because it is large and he feels it's difficult to maintain it in a mahajid way. He wants to know if he should make his own Erev Chatzeres Matzah to enable carrying in his building, or can he rely on the one made for the community Erev even though he doesn't use the Erev? The answer is he cannot rely, because that Erev, according to his Chumrah, is not accessible to him, and therefore it's no good. Look at that, just to give you two Makaros, the Bar Hetev in Simen Shin Samach Vav Sivkot Yud, refers you back to Simen Shin Samach Hei Sivkot Hei, from the Taz and Mogan Avraham respectively, if it's not accessible, it doesn't work. 20. Aruch HaShulchan 358.6 says that a shul is not mukul for dira, and therefore is a karpas if it's big enough. That's a pretty big shul. Does that mean one may not carry it in very large shuls? How would you get a sitter from yourself to the seat? You can't. You have to make sure to put your sitter in the seat before Shabbos starts. That's again, if you hold that Aruch HaShulchan is correct, I'm not sure if it agrees with him, but the halach is, if it's a karpas more than base hasayim, well, that's 50 amas by 100 amas. That's pretty big. I mean, 50 amas, you know, let's say it's 75 to 100 feet. 100 amas is 150 to 200 feet. But there could be shuls that big. I agree. I think the minhag olam is that we assume these things are not considered karpas. They consider hukkah for dira. Because people, they live in shul. He says they don't eat there, they don't sleep there. Okay, a shul is usually a mekel. Here's a machmir. My guess, although I didn't have a chance to see anybody who disagrees explicitly, that the other poskim do not accept this chumrah, but if you do accept it, then enoch enami, you can't carry more than dalet amos. 21. The woman saw dam rosh chodesh for 2 months. Again, this is a question. The next two questions, I think, are this. I mean, this question is a problem. The question is a problem. We'll get to the answer. If a woman saw dam aleph the rosh chodesh for 2 months, he's assuming that you can have aleph the rosh chodesh for 2 months in a row. Now, after Rosh Chodesh only happens if the month is 30 days. Then Sivan Lamed, which is also 30 days. That establishes a Chazaka for Rosh Chodesh to after Rosh Chodesh. Now, that can only happen three months in a row that have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh can only happen, to my understanding, if Cheshvan and Kislev are both Mole. So you have the 30th of Tishrei and of Cheshvan and of Kislev, but then Teves had no after Rosh Chodesh because Teves is always Chaser. So this question seems to be theoretical. I don't see how it's practical. And so to be, if there was a Ria on after Rosh Chodesh and the following month is a Mole, Mole means it's also after Rosh Chodesh, what day is the vest? Obviously, after Rosh Chodesh, from Lamed to Lamed, that is the vest of Chodesh. I mean, Chav Tes may be the only Benedis. So this, maybe the question is not clear. If someone asks who wants to clarify for next time, I'll try to address it. 22. A Vedika mistake was mistakenly thrown out, and the Isha is not sure regarding the color. Do we say Sapik Bel Reis al Chumra? Would there be a difference between Yom HaVestis and Zayin Nekiyah? Number one, I'm not sure if it's Sapik Bel Reis. I know the post can say it is. A Vedika is a Reis, a Sapik Hargosha. It seems to me that was only true in the olden days when they had different kinds of Hargoshas. Today, the women fundamentally have no Hargosha, and in my view, it still needed a Reisah based upon what's normal. The normal Re'iyah, that's considered Hargosha. What's normal? You look in the Rashba and the Chiddush Yoran, in Nida and Zayin Amud Beis, whatever's normal, that's considered to be the Nida D'Oraisa. Normal could be a regular flow. I mentioned in the past, normal could be a tipak or chit, even a drop on a Morena or Yudi or something like that. But the Bedika cannot camouflage a normal flow. So I thought the Mizman Azeb, it could be a Bedika, not a D'Oraisa. Having said that, it seems to me that on a Darabana level, Bedika would be usher any color, any, I should say any size if the color is red. And this woman has no idea if the color was a good color or a bad color. So we have to go to Chumra, not because it's sake of the rice of the Chumra. In general, you do a Bedika, you're supposed to find out that it's good. And if you don't know, we have to be a Machmir. If she's not sure, it doesn't count as a Bedika. Now, you may say, okay, doesn't count, it's okay. It's a Yom HaVestis, doesn't count. She's okay. No. The Pesach, I believe, is, even if it's not a Shalom of Daraisa, if the Bedika is unclear, we have to go to Chumrah. One can discuss extenuating circumstances, but in general, if there's a Bedika which is thrown out, we have to go to Chumrah, unless the woman can tell us with conviction that this color is good. Maybe she'll show a different color, which in her memory is the same. We can be vehicle based on that comparison, but you have to be very careful. Finally, 23. The kosher supermarket, they sell sushi as buy two and get one free. The third free roll is to be of equal or less value than the two sushi rolls purchased. My son purchases six rolls in total, three $10 rolls and three $6 rolls. How much would you expect to pay? Clearly, most consumers would expect to pay $32. How so? Pay for two $10 rolls, pay for two $6 rolls. That gives you 20 plus 12 is 32. Shows me the bill. The cashier charges them for three $10 rolls and one $6 roll. That's 36. Two free rolls are the $6 rolls, and they didn't even include the two free $6 rolls on the receipt. He pays $36, not 32. This is Zayla. Yes, if they're supposed to charge 32 by their own regulations, and it's 36, I assume it's Zayla Bishogik. I don't think the cashier meant to cheat the person's son out of money. There must have been some kind of miscalculation. But I believe it should be done. Take the receipt back to the store, explain to them exactly what's written here in this shaila, and if they're honorable, they'll get a $4 discount. If not, we'll make an appeal for the $4. Thank you very much, Rabbi Osai.
Rabbi, we thank you very much as well. We hope we can call upon Rabbi in the near future. Thank you.
Call
Take
them.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.